Lecture 3. Discovering Mesopotamia.
In the previous lecture, we discussed the role of geography, and we saw how many different environments existed in ancient Iraq and in the modern country of Iraq. We looked at mountains, desert plains, and marshlands. And I'd like for you to keep this geography in mind when we discuss how ancient Mesopotamia was discovered. In the next two lectures, we will explore the history and significance of archaeology to our study of Mesopotamia. In this lecture, we will focus on the early history of exploration and archaeology in Iraq, because it helps clarify what sites were discovered first and how these excavations shaped European and American ideas about the ancient Near East and Mesopotamia in the 19th and 20th centuries. We will see a shift from the single, intrepid male adventurer to large teams of European and American museums or universities working together with local diggers to search out the residence of a king or a god. Along the way, they might pick up some cuneiform tablets, which we've already discussed are important to our discussion of the history of Mesopotamia. But these excavations, even though they were important and yielded such significant discoveries, they required that a team be tied to a site for a couple of decades or so, and they were very expensive to sponsor. In the late 20th century, we will see another shift to smaller teams that ranged over larger territory. These archaeological investigations asked different questions, did much less digging, and much more comparison. So as we think about the history of archaeology, we'll look at how Mesopotamian culture has been reconstructed and how these ideas have changed over time. Why is archaeology so important to Mesopotamia? If we think of other ancient civilizations, such as Greece or Rome, often we think first of great literature, such as the Iliad, that survived and were accessible throughout most of modern European history. In Mesopotamian contexts, however, texts were not known at all until they were discovered by archaeologists, because they are written on the clay tablets that were the main writing surface of the area. But the cultures were known. They were described in the Old Testament and by Greek authors and later Roman authors, visitors to the area. These sources viewed Mesopotamia as home of wealthy, cruel tyrants, often with many wives. The Old Testament recorded historical invasions of the Assyrian and Persian rulers into the land of Israel. Since the land was being invaded, the kings were portrayed usually as immoral and sacrilegious, deserving of the divine retribution that was visited upon them in the form of plagues, or perhaps even loss in battle. Greek authors were both impressed and appalled by the luxury, the tyranny, and the polygamy of Persian kings. Their descriptions were written as a way to promote their own lifestyle as superior to that of the Persians, and as a result, they exaggerate the extravagance of their eastern neighbors. Keep in mind that the Greeks, this very small country, was able to defeat the great Persian Empire in the 5th century. So this sense of superiority would be fueled by their military success. Let's take a look at two examples of Greek descriptions of the Near East. We'll start first with the 4th century BC Greek historian Ctesias, who created a fictional account of a ruler from the Near East, Sardanapalus, perhaps modeled on one of the 7th century BC Assyrian rulers. Sardanapalus's empire collapsed because of his luxury and his self-indulgence.